Welcome to Episode Party, the podcast where we talk about our favourite podcasts. I'm Jack Tutor.
I'm Freddie Harrison.
And our guest this week is Mike Hurley, who's a podcaster and co-founder of an independent podcast network called Really FM. Mike, welcome.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Oh, good.
Doing good.
Great to have you. So we've all come here with a podcast recommendation as always. We've shared them with each other. Now we're convening to have a chat about them. Freddie, do you want to kick us off with your podcast and tell us a bit about it?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think, as is kind of tradition for Episode Party, I seem to have chosen a particularly different podcast to everyone else, which is always fun. So this podcast is Beginner, and it charts the journey of a 24-year-old Pakistani woman called Misha, who she lives in America now, and she moved from Pakistan to America when she was younger and spent part of her childhood in Pakistan, part of her childhood in America. And the podcast is effectively about her delayed assimilation. She grew up kind of shying away from getting used to things that happen in kind of American culture, because she was kind of scared to admit that she didn't know things. And now, as a young woman, she's learning things like riding bikes and things like that she either knew or didn't know and or forgot. And I guess what I love about it is that it's just a really nice story. And I think to me, that's what I love about podcasts, is that anyone can tell their story, and there's a relatively low barrier to entry. And that means that there's these kind of like brilliantly diverse topics and discussions and voices and all the rest of it. And I think it's just a nice story in a way. And it's one that I personally have no experience of or understanding of, so I'm kind of learning about someone's experience of moving to a different country as a child and how that affects them growing up as each episode unfolds. So the episode in particular that I chose was the first one, Misha Comes to America, which is partly about her learning to ride a bike, or that's where we start, but it kind of sets the scene for the rest of the podcast. And I think it's really beautifully done, I've listened to a few after this now, and I think it's great, and I think it's just a wonderful use of the medium, I guess. Jack, what did you think?
I loved it. Do you know what was really surprising to me, and I hope this doesn't sound condescending, it's just such a beautifully produced podcast that I was kind of hanging on the end and waiting to hear that little Radiotopia sting, or brought to you by, because it's really exquisitely done. The music is amazing, the production is incredible, like her telling of the story I think is just so compelling. I mean, I know she's got tons of experience. She's been with WNYC and has done various podcasty bits before, but I just thought this was just, I listened to two episodes so far, and I'm loving the way that the story is unfolding. What I really, really love about it is the fact that she's got this premise, which is great. You know, she's going basically back and doing the things that she missed out on in childhood because she was too scared to say, I don't know how to do that, because she came from a different culture, or maybe where these things weren't ingrained in growing up. But her motives for doing so, for going back and doing these things, I mean, don't seem clear to me. And I don't think as well seem entirely clear to her. Because as she's going through and doing these activities, she's always raising the question of like why she's doing it. And there's a point where she says, am I trying to impress my parents? Or there's a moment where they're like on the bicycle one, where she's with her boyfriend Sammy, who in these early stages seems like an awesome bloke. But he's like, they're talking and she's saying, oh, aren't you going to come on this bike ride with me? And he's like, no, you shouldn't be doing this for a shared experience. You should be doing it for yourself, which again seems to highlight something that she's trying to suss out in her own mind, like who is she doing this for, why is she going through this journey. And I think the fact that something can come through with a premise which is so uncertain but so clear in how it's structured, you know, each episode lays out an activity that she's going to try, and these activities as well are so basic, like riding a bike, learning to sing, but the way she talks about them is so nuanced. And as you say, Freddie, like, it's something that I don't have really any understanding of firsthand. And it's just so nice to hear such a nuanced account of this kind of experience, which is great. And I love it. I'm going to stick with it. I don't know why I didn't listen to it when it first came out. That was dumb of me. Like, I heard the trailer and went, that's great. And then it kind of sunk into the mire of just too many podcasts being subscribed to. And, oh, you know how it gets. But, Mike, I'd love to know what you thought of it.
Okay, so I feel like I need to preface this, my points, by saying that I do not like these types of podcasts.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Lay it all out.
Okay. I don't like the NPR style mixed environment type shows. So like where there's a narrator who talks like this and music is undercut with everything, and then there's random recording things. So sometimes you're recording from a phone, sometimes you're recording from a microphone, sometimes you're recording from a portable recorder in a deli somewhere. Like I don't like it. I feel like that there have been shows like that have worked, and then there are too many shows that try to repeat it, mostly unnecessarily. And I did feel like this show was nicely produced but was trying too hard in quite a few places, like recording a phone on loudspeaker. I don't really know why that's something that's necessary to do. I feel like at points there were like, how many different types of things can I fit into this 15-minute episode? Like, I felt like there was a lot of that going on. The conceit of the show is really interesting, and I can see that if you are someone like you two guys that clearly are more welcome to this type of show, you can enjoy it. I think it might be partly because I try my best to make my shows sound pristine, like as clean as they can be. So like the idea of there being somebody recorded from a telephone call, it just breaks like my enjoyment of listening. Like, this is nothing against this person's ability. It's just my own personal tastes. And my own personal tastes tend to be mostly in the opposite of this type of show.
Yeah.
So I can see, like, the idea, I think, is a really good idea, like, but I felt like there were points where it was maybe a little bit too melodramatic for my tastes, or just the general production of the show just isn't my cup of tea, really. I feel like I'm just, like, raining on everyone's parade here, but...
this, honestly...
We might as well get it out of the way.
Yeah, and also, this podcast is so often just a bunch of celebrative yes people. And it's like, yay, yay, yay. And, you know, I like a bit of collision. I think, you know, a bit of fire, I think that's great. I think what's interesting as well is that obviously you're a man on the inside of this process. And I imagine a lot of these things are so transparent to you in terms of techniques which are so prevalent.
Yeah, there's a lot of it where I'm listening and I'm like, did that really happen? Like, just my understanding of the way that just audio is recorded is like this: you were very lucky to get this moment here for the first time recorded on your portable recorder with nobody making reference to the fact that there is a portable recorder. You know, it's just like stuff like that where I'm like, what's going on here? Because I can only imagine that she's showing up at her boyfriend's door holding a Zoom recorder and headphones on, and he's like, hey, how you doing? Like, as you know, as if this is a regular daily occurrence.
Yeah, it's like you imagine actually what happens is she goes and says hi, so what I'm going to do is just shut this door, I'm going to come in again, I imagine if you're there would seem so weird,
but there's no other way to do it, right? Like, so, you know, I'm not criticizing the thing, it's just like I feel like I can see all of this stuff happening, and I just struggle to enjoy it because of that. And it's not, again, it's nothing on the show itself. It's just my own kind of tastes, which I think are in a lot of places affected by the fact that I produce shows for a living myself, you know?
No, I think Mike, this is great to hear in a sense, because we don't often get, like, as Jack says, a professional on the show. So it's nice to hear it from your perspective, which is really cool.
I was going to say, you mentioned there were some that have worked. What ones for you have hit the nail on the head?
Serial season one. Because the story was so compelling that I was willing to look past some of it. Plus, it was, you know, Serial was produced by a large team of people, so they can really polish it, you know, to make it sound as good as they can, but, you know, irrespective of what is actually being put to tape. And some of the Gimlet shows, like the first season of Startup, did a good job of this as well, where it's like the storytelling is really great, to the point where some of it can be hidden. But I will say, for myself personally, I got tired of both of those shows after the first seasons. Like, they're just, the original stories kept me listening, but subsequent stories I didn't find as interesting. So I really think that, you know, it has to be, for me, something that's really, really grabbing my attention for me to want to listen to a show like this.
That's really interesting. I know exactly how you feel about Startup. I think that the first season especially was very compelling, and then I think trying to repeat that, it was different. And I think one of the things that made it so compelling was that it was a first person perspective, whereas seasons after that, when they were looking into the lives of other founders who were trying to start their companies, it, you know, naturally that's going to make the whole thing a lot more polished and in some ways less interesting, because there's no better person to tell a story than, you know, when you're telling your own story. And I think when someone's effectively editorializing or telling a story on your behalf, that person can never make it as interesting, as skilled, or as brilliant as they are.
I think as well, Startup season one was almost invincible in the fact that the whole premise was transparency, and so there were a lot of bits where they talked about the recorder, in fact quite a lot of bits, and you could get away with it because it's about someone showing you the nuts and bolts of doing a podcast.
And it helps you picture everything that's going on.
Yeah, and like all those conversations with his wife, you can tell that he's turned the recorder on, and then there's a sort of awkward silence, and he goes, okay, and they sort of like force the wheels turning on this conversation that's reprising something they've just talked about. So it felt very raw in that way, even though it's packaged up super nice.
And like the conversations of his wife, with Alex and his wife Nazneen, they were good because you could tell she didn't want to be doing it. Right, yeah. Like, there was just like a tone in her voice where she's just like, I don't want to be doing this, right? Like, this stuff is important, you know? And like, so it's like contrasting it to what we heard in Beginner, where it was like, this just feels like life, which it wouldn't be because there's recording equipment in front of you, you know?
Yes.
So it's a good juxtaposition, I think, of two shows in a similar vein, and just the ways that they approach things.
Yeah. And also, like,
exactly,
true podcast expert, you brought it back round to Beginner as we were starting to sway into the forays of podcast land generally. So it's great to have a professional on again.
Someone's got to keep us on track. Yeah. And I think it's you this time, Mike. Mike, let's talk about a podcast you do like. And yeah, please introduce your suggestion.
I've picked a show called The McElroy Brothers Will Be in Trolls 2. There have been three episodes of this show. This show was created as like a spin-off to the McElroy Brothers' very, very popular show, My Brother and Me, which is an advice show. They take questions from the audience and they pick weird questions from Yahoo Answers. They call it an advice show, but really it is an improv comedy where the comedy is begun with people's questions. And on one episode of the show, lovingly referred to as Mabim Bam, there was a conversation in which Justin, the oldest brother, made a decision that they were going to be in the sequel to the movie Trolls called Trolls 2. And the way he said, like, he had a dream about this, and it wasn't a case of the fact that they might be in the movie. It was a case of they will be in the movie. And all it was just they needed to get to that point. So this was just like this tangent from the show, which eventually went into a spin-off, as after a live show that they recorded of Mabim Bam, they were in Portland and they had been given some cakes laced with a thing, which would produce varying results. So they ended up recording a podcast in their hotel room, all a little bit high, talking about the idea of being in Trolls 2. Now, I gave you guys the second episode to listen to, which is right. hilarious, in which the guys have a phone conversation with their actual real-life agent about how he can help them get into this movie. But the whole show is presented, it is narrated by Justin, in a tongue-in-cheek way, right? So this show is being a little bit tongue-in-cheek with the style that we were talking about previously, where Justin is doing his best voice like this, which is like, he is making fun of these types of shows, but also it is necessary for him to produce the show in this way, because the show is made as if the movie has already happened, and they have been in it, and this is the story of how they got there. So there is like all this like back and forth through time, which doesn't actually really exist. And I chose this episode for you because their agent is hilarious, and it is a good slice into the McElroy brothers and why I enjoy basically all of their work. So I'm very interested in knowing what you guys thought of this.
Freddie, go for it.
Amazing. Yeah, I.
Let me just ask quickly: do either of you have any listening experience of anything that the McElroys have produced?
Yes. Absolutely none whatsoever.
Okay, so we have a mix. All right,
we have a mix. I have zero. I mean, I've heard of My Brother and Me before, and it's one of these things that it pops up time and time again, and I hear people talking about it, and I think I should listen to that at some point. So this was a kind of, I guess, a backwards introduction to the McElroy brothers. But the episode you recommended, Mike, I 100% wholeheartedly agree that their agent Joel is absolutely hilarious, and the conversation that unfolds, and you can tell, you can hear the bits where he's trying to be really lovely and positive and upbeat, and then there's these tiny moments where he just cracks a little bit and he's like, this is ridiculous. And I love that, and I'm glad you picked, you know, the narration as well. As you said, it's just it's hilarious, and I did pick up on it, and I kind of like didn't appreciate its genius until you were kind of talking about it just now. But I found the entire episode really funny, it, you know, it immediately had me kind of going back to listen to chapter one, and started listening to chapter three on the way home this evening, and. Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see where this goes.
Yeah, I will say, by listening to chapter two first, you maybe miss out on some of the context of it not having actually happened.
Right.
I think they really nail that down in chapter one, which is episode one, a lot more about the fact that like this hasn't actually happened yet. Yes. When they're in that life, but yet Justin is talking to you from the future.
Yes. Yeah. I mean I kind of knew that they mentioned the release date, and that was kind of the first moment where I thought, oh, hang on a second, this actually hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Like, oh.
And I think in fact I feel like I feel like when you first recommended this, because we set this up a little while back, and I remember starting to listen to this, and then I re-listened to this really recently. But when I first started listening to this, I remember going on Wikipedia and searching up Trolls 2 just to check the date. And it wasn't until earlier on this week when I was listening again, and I got to the release date when I think Joel mentions the release date, and I thought, hang on a second, I see what's going on here. And I love it. I think it's great. I'm excited to see how it unfolds, and whether this ends up becoming a strange reality.
Yeah, if you did enjoy this, I cannot recommend enough to you that you begin listening to My Brother and Me. If you enjoyed this, you will really enjoy that show.
Okay, I will absolutely take that recommendation, Mike. Jack, what do you think?
So, yeah, I had a bit of experience with these guys, in that my friend recommended to me back in March. Usually when people recommend you a podcast, they say like, hey, there's this podcast, you know, this is what it's about, you know, check it out. But he just went, you should listen to this, it's really funny, and then just stopped dead. And I was like, okay, interesting. But I kind of understand. I mean, Mike, you did quite a good job of surmising what it is, but I kind of went in relatively cold, other than the fact that I knew it was going to be funny, and quickly realized that they're on a sort of plane of reality that I'm not. In a way that I really, I really enjoyed. I mean, what was really interesting as well is the episode that I listened to on the back of his recommendation was the one where Justin, did you say it was, originally said, we're mm-hmm. going to be in Trolls 2. And that was the last...
So you listened to My Brother and Me? Or
I should have said...
So you actually randomly started with Mabim Bam at the point... Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That was just like some like weird fever dream that he had, which then became Trolls 2.
Well, yeah.
The McElroy Brothers were being Trolls 2.
And I wasn't sure whether it was something that had been said before that they were just picking up, because I don't know. It seems that it seems like one of those shows where a lot of things get compounded. And, you know, in perfect proof of that, when you came forward with your podcast recommendation, I didn't know that this podcast existed, but I remembered the fact that they'd been talking about this, and I was like, I can't believe this. They've made a whole podcast out of this comment, this remark that was made. And that told me, like, a lot about what these guys are about. The fact that this kind of absurdity can be just compacted into a form that actually means that there's, like, okay, we're doing this, we're starting a show, which is crazy. So I listened to all three episodes, so I got the one as well where they were sort of playing a bit of a thought puzzle with themselves to try and talk about this thing that had definitely happened in the future. I liked that every time someone says, if we get in, and that every time, like, when we get in, we're already there, which I really enjoyed. The agent one was really good as well, because I think for someone who doesn't have much experience with listening to these guys, the agent feels a bit like me in that he's just there. He's there to do, you know, a job. He's not part of their universe, but he just kind of gets inundated with their stuff and has to try and wrestle and make sense of it. And there's a point where the conversation spirals out to the point where they're asking to be on The Simpsons, and the agent's just, like, he's been in a head spin. He doesn't know why he's got there. I often feel like that I'm listening to three siblings, which obviously I am, in the sense that there's a humorous connection there, which sort of... Or maybe it's just the fact that I haven't been listening long enough, but I feel like there's a humorous connection which sort of transcends my ability to sort of be part of it. And they're losing it, mm-hmm. and, you know, falling on the floor laughing, and I'm sort of strutting around with my headphones in, sort of like, oh, what have I missed there?
Yeah, the thing is, they share a sense of humor. Like, the reason that they work is that their sense of humor is shared. And if you are on the level with them, like, you just find everything that they say funny, which is how I feel. Like, everything that I've ever listened to that has any combination of the three of them in, I find the funniest stuff I've ever heard. Like, there is just a very specific type of humor that they have, and you can either get it completely, or you get it a little bit, or you don't get it at all. And I think all of those feelings are completely valid, because it is so specific.
Yeah.
Mike, was it one of these things where you got it from the very first episode that you listened to, or was it something that kind of happened over time?
I listened to an episode of My Brother and Me a long time ago, and it never clicked. And then I watch a lot of, like, video game related YouTube videos, and sure. a lot of the stuff that Polygon creates, and Justin and Griffin both work at Polygon, and I realized over time that more and more of the stuff that I was gravitating to was stuff that they were producing, and it tends to be funny stuff, irreverent stuff that they will make, which is rooted in video games but really is some kind of comedic art piece. And after I kind of came to that realization, I was like, well, maybe I should check out My Brother and Me again. And then I did. And then I found Trolls 2, and I will say I've recently started listening to another podcast that they produce called The Adventure Zone, which is a Dungeons and Dragons podcast, which they play with their dad, and it is, without a shadow of a doubt, the best podcast I have ever listened to.
Whoa.
I have started listening to it 3 weeks ago. I'm at episode like 50 something, and I haven't listened to any other podcast in 3 weeks.
Wow.
I'm just binging it. The episodes are like 60 to 90 minutes long, and it is this incredible world building fantasy comedy thing. It's absolutely just superb. It is unbelievable. So I maybe would have recommended the Adventure Zone to you, but probably still would have stuck with Trolls 2, just because to really appreciate the Adventure Zone, you have to listen to a couple. You have to be willing to give it a go. I mean, I will say I was completely hooked after episode one, but it's a story. So, and as the story progresses, it gets better and the production gets better. But I'll just throw that in as an ancillary recommendation.
Nice.
We're all for them. I'm very excited to get into the world of the McElroy brothers now. I think you've done a tremendous job of selling them.
Good.
And yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting few weeks for me, and I can only hope that I end up binging on them to the same level that you are, Mike. That would be great.
They had a TV show as well, didn't they? Which
yeah,
I've seen.
It's a TV adaptation of My Brother, My Brother and Me.
How did that work out? Have you seen any of that?
I watched all of it. and it's fantastic. It's brilliant. It is like a... It works in parallel to the show. So it's like one question, and then they come up with wacky ways in the real world to try and answer it. Like, they will get a question, and then they go and try and research things that are about the question. Like, for example, one of them was about getting a job, and they recorded the show in their hometown. So the way that they did it was, I think it was Griffin tried to get a job again with somebody who fired him when he was younger. But the person that fired him is now his father-in-law.
Right.
But he was fired when he was like 16.
Right.
And then just the ways in which he tries to get ready for the job interview and then fails at the job interview is just, it's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. I recommend it. It's on like, I think it's on something called CISO. Outside of the US, it is available on iTunes.
Okay.
And I bought the whole series and it's sublime. I think they have an episode on YouTube as well that they just put on there for free.
Jack, let's hear about your recommendation.
Yeah, so I've picked the Adam Buxton podcast. Adam Buxton being a comedian, actor and writer, used to be part of the radio duo Adam and Joe, which I've never really listened to, actually, and I think there's a certain stigma attached to like radio duos for me, which sort of puts me off. So I put off listening to this for a long time as well. And it's also an interview podcast with comedians, musicians and writers. And, you know, obviously there's so many podcasts in that field. And so on the face of it, I was like, what has this got that I'm going to like? But I dived in on a recommendation from a friend and I love it. It's got a certain something which I think these kind of podcasts need in order to exist and justify themselves, in the sense that it's not just another podcast of, you know, two people having a chat. I think Adam seems to have like a real appreciation of sound and place, which as someone who writes a lot about sound art and experimental music and all of that, I really feel quite attuned to that and affiliate myself with that. And, you know, I love the fact that he does all his intros outside. Some of his podcasts are just, like, recorded ambling around and pick up the sounds of the outside. And I feel like that's a very deliberate thing. There's one with Johnny Greenwood where he's just, from Radiohead, he's just walking around Lyon. And, you know, they amble through different spaces and you get different soundscapes sort of surrounding the conversation. And he's also clearly talented with his ditties, like he does a lot of silly songs that sort of sit at the edges and in between the interview and break it up. But also, I think he's a really interesting interviewer. I think the one that I recommended, which was with Louis Theroux, the documentarian, he has like a... They've been friends since childhood, so a lot of the conversation is kind of rooted in those shared experiences, but not to the extent where you're kind of, you know, shut out on the outside. But there's a point at which they have some energy drinks, like halfway through, and then the conversation just descends into singing and some really maybe I should have warned, but some pretty abrasive falsetto from Louis Theroux, which I'm delighted to say that I've now heard. But and then just basically the last 5 minutes is them doing a cappella Beach Boys and you know, so I don't think I've had an energy drink that strong, but it was, yeah, something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I love the podcast.
What was the song he was singing?
He was doing
I like to boogie.
I can boogie. That's it. Yeah, we shouldn't do it. I don't think that's a good idea for us to start doing it.
Let's. I mean, I was trying to introduce it by the artist, but Jack just jumped in with the lyrics.
Note that I went an octave down as well because I respect listeners' ears. That's maybe something that he should have thought about. But
he also did a little bit of a Sia number as well, which I thought was
So I should find out what you guys think. Mike, go for it. What did you think of this?
I was hesitant for this because I am familiar with Adam Buxton. I have no problem with him, but I feel like a show like this, inherently. The reason that you would listen to it is because you have an affinity with one of the two parties in the show. Mm-hmm. Either you're an Adam Buxton fan or a Louis Theroux fan. And I don't dislike either of these people, but I wouldn't consider myself a fan of either. So like going into it, I'm thinking, why am I going to enjoy this, right? Like this is a conversation between two people that I don't really know a ton about. But I think I think you chose a great episode because they're childhood friends, so the chemistry is immediate. If he was interviewing someone in a more cold environment, I think I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it so much. Mm-hmm. But because their chemistry is there from the get-go, it was really interesting to listen to. Like, I found the conversation that they had about alcohol fascinating. But again, it's like not something I would tune in for, right? If that makes sense. Yeah. Like if I saw a description, I wouldn't be like, oh, I need to listen to that one. But I found myself laughing a lot, especially at the music part. Although I will say, whilst that was hilarious, it is exactly the type of thing that you would be embarrassed to be listening to with somebody else in the house.
Right.
Like, you know when you're listening to something and someone walks in the room, like, what are you listening to? Like, this is one of those things.
Yeah. It is.
So I was very happy that I was at home listening to it. So it was interesting to me, Jack, to hear the way that you talk about the show. It's like an interesting thing in the difference of our tastes is that I couldn't work out why he was outside for the introduction of the show, and I found it really weird. Hmm. Like, why are you walking around outside? Plus, the stuff with, like, the dog character and the songs, it's just not for me. Plus all of his ads are at the beginning of the show as well, which I really don't like. I prefer ads to be kind of peppered throughout the show. And there were songs, he was like singing all of the ads. It's like I think if you're coming to that without any prior knowledge, it's like a little bit like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing all of these things? Right? Like, that now, if I listen to the show, I may appreciate them more again. But, like, the first time, I'm like, what is going on here? It's like multiple minutes before the interview begins, which is peppered with a dog character, some songs, and walking outside in the grass. But I will say, overall, I did really enjoy this show. I did.
Oh, great. It's like you've had basically the same experience that I had with Mabim Bam Them. This has worked out quite well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's like, what is happening right now? Yeah, it's a little bit of that.
I almost nearly missed the ads, and not in a way that they were just smooth and like I noticed them, but I thought, oh, that's a really nice way to introduce the ads. I just thought he was just singing random songs again, which I wonder how his advertisers feel about that. But to an extent, like singing those ads in the same way that he sings his intro and his outro, kind of it almost makes him a little bit invisible.
But then, were you like, oh God, have I just bought a website? Did he just get you by surprise and all of a sudden you were into the
product? No, I don't think it was subliminal. I think it was just like completely, I kind of feel a little bit similar to Mike in the sense that the singing of the intro is a little bit too wacky for my liking. So I kind of switched off as soon as I heard more singing, and then all of a sudden I heard him say Squarespace and I thought, oh, hang on a second, there was something going on there that maybe they actually wanted me to hear. But yeah, I really enjoyed the episode, and I think, Mike, you've nailed it there in the sense that the reason that I was compelled to listen was because it was Louis Theroux, and I'm a fan of Louis Theroux, so right. I had a kind of a vested interest in one of the parties, and that kind of spurred it on. I mean, I know that in the past when I've spoke to people kind of generally about podcasts, people who don't listen to a lot of podcasts will generally say, oh, I listen to the Adam Buxton podcast or the Adam and Joe show, which I think was the one he did before. And in a way, that's kind of weirdly put me off, because the more people that told me to listen to something in a weird way, the more I kind of shied away from it. And it felt like one of those kind of like Podcast Starter Kit podcast, which maybe I'm just being really snobby, but I kind of was trying to find stuff further afield, I guess. But I did really enjoy the episode, and I think, again, you know, I think it is really helped by the fact that Louis and Adam are kind of childhood friends, so they have a natural rapport, which you know, aids the whole thing. I kind of lost it a little bit when they were talking about like school experiences and stuff that happened at school that's a bit embarrassing. I was kind of like, okay, cool, you're having a chat and I don't really relate. And then I was completely rewarded in the weirdest way possible by the singing. I think that's the only way I can put it.
Yeah, I love as well, there's a bit where they're just talking about energy drink ingredients. And do you know what's really great is that Louis Theroux, obviously, my primary experience of Louis Theroux is for his documentaries, where he plays the straight man, and he has to be quite vacant in order to almost make sure he accentuates the characters around him rather than becoming a focal point himself. And what was so great is hearing him let loose, and he's clearly like a very funny guy, and you realise the... there's probably a lot of, you know, reservation to the character that he plays as part of a documentarian. And that in relaxed conversation, like, he's clearly, like, you know, can be anxious, can have a lot of regret. And there's just a lot of things that I kind of, you know, my experience of Louis Theroux, I just never really thought about him imbuing. But, yeah, his sense of humor was just, like, absolutely up my street. I think with the funny, silly songs and stuff, I hate silly, funny music. I can't stand it. It's my least favorite thing. For some reason, I'm okay with Adam Buxton doing it. I feel like there's this layer of awareness that he's prodding a button that is a bit garish and horrible, but there's a slight slither of irony where I go, all right, Adam, you go ahead. And I do have a little chuckle, and I, you know, break all my long-held values on silly songs, which I will repeat again are horrible and should be banned. But I just love this podcast. I think as well the other episodes where he doesn't have an existing relationship with people proves that he's also very astute in finding a way in and also being conversational in a way that stimulates the other person's personality to just come out. Which is key to these things, right? It's like, you can't have a conversational podcast where the other person's putting on their press junket hat for the entire thing for an hour. That's hard work, you know?
I expect his radio training, probably, you know, his radio career has trained him for that, would be my expectation.
Yeah, although I have to say, I haven't listened to like loads of his stuff, but with radio, like these like long form conversations, I think are almost a different realm to a lot of what you engage with in radio, you know? But yeah, I thought it was exquisite. I will say, actually, I wanted to add in, the way you start your podcast on Really FM is excellent. You said about the front-loaded adverts. The way that Cortex starts is bloody blissful, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, peeling behind the curtain, I guess. But that's what like we would call a cold open, where the show just begins. But many of our other shows, you know, there is an introduction, but it's like 15 seconds long, where we just say the name of the show, the episode number, we say who the sponsors are by name, and then that's it. And then the show just begins. And that's because of just the way the shows are produced differently. But I tend not to like it when you press play on a podcast and you're 3 minutes in and nothing's actually happened yet.
Right.
You know, I find that to be kind of frustrating. It's like, you know, when you want to watch a YouTube video and you've got to watch a 30-second unskippable ad. It's like, well, this isn't what I'm here for when I'm like here for a 1 minute video and I have to wait for 30 seconds first, you know? I just don't like it. I like to try and get to the meat of the conversation as quickly as possible, or at least begin, right? Like, on what you're expecting. But again, it's different strokes for different folks, right? Like, and I think that's kind of the fun thing about this show that you guys make, is like, this is different people and they're different types of shows and their different tastes, because there are so many podcasts available in the world. Like, you can kind of find the thing that's your thing, and that's what I think makes the medium. That's why I love the medium, because you can find your thing. But that means that everybody has their own specific opinions on the type of shows that they enjoy.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, Jack and I have a sort of similar shared taste in podcasts, but I know, Jack, that there's been plenty you've recommended me that I've completely ignored to listen to one episode. And yeah, all right, okay, let's see how this is going. You're right, this is what makes it great. Mike, we're not going to talk about your busy schedule because we've already decided that that's anger-inducing in some senses. But when you're not binging on something by the McElroy brothers, what's your kind of like podcast listening schedule like? Because we end up rounding off this show quite often, and accidentally we're talking about where we listen to podcasts and in what context we listen to podcasts. What does that look like for you? What are you often doing or not doing?
Well, it's changed so significantly for me over time as I transitioned to working from home, right? Because I used to listen to podcasts on my commute every day, but that isn't something that I can do anymore. So instead, I tend to listen to podcasts when I'm doing... if I'm out of the house, I will. Like, if I'm going somewhere, then I will. But my general listening is at home, and it can be in a bunch of different ways. So, like, for example, there may be some times where I am listening to a show when I'm doing the dishes or when I'm cooking. I listen to podcasts a lot if I'm playing video games, like, especially if, like, it's a game that doesn't require audio. And or there will be times where, honestly, I just put a podcast on and listen to it. And, like, I could just be sitting at home, but it's instead of watching a movie or a TV show, like, podcasts are my favorite form of entertainment. So I'll just put one on and listen. But the majority of my listening these days does happen at home, which is also why the amount of time I have to listen to podcasts has decreased over the years.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm curious as well, how has it changed? Now you're doing Relay, and I think we got a hint of it there, maybe, in the fact that, beginner, you're very aware of techniques being used. How has your, like, actual listening changed? Like, have you noticed something where you gravitate towards different stuff because you're on the other side of the curtain?
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of the stuff that I do is technology-based, I don't have a lot of personal desire to listen to an abundance of technology-focused shows outside of the ones that we produce. So, like, I listen to, obviously, a selection of Relay FM shows, you know, in regards to technology. Like, I'll listen to the Accidental Tech podcast and the talk show, like I have for years. But I'm not really interested in like, myself finding a ton more shows like that, just because I talk about it and think about it so much that sometimes I kind of want to escape it. So I listen to shows about video games. I listen to shows that are focused on comedy stuff. And this is something that really has changed for me maybe in the last 6 to 8 months. I also listen to some stuff that's like focused on being a small business owner and things like that. It's just as my kind of tastes are just changing over time. And I have like less of a desire to listen to things that are like the stuff that I make. And also I found that like it pushes me to think about new areas that I can create in, because I'm getting inspiration now from people that make things that are unlike what I do, but in the same industry.
Yeah. What I find so great is the ability to just expand, contract, twist, shift what you're listening to.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, it's completely it. And like, right now, I'm just finding that I want to laugh more when I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
But I might find soon that, oh, I want to get more information, you know? Because I'm going on this binge right now of a comedy fantasy show. Maybe when I'm done with this, I'll probably go all the way back to information again, and maybe bring a couple more tech shows into my lineup. Right, like, that is a thing that I notice in myself, where I'm like, I look at my list and I'm like, oh, I don't want to listen to something serious today, or I don't want to listen to something funny today. I want some information, you know?
Yeah, something I can use. Because I find with the information stuff, I reach like a saturation point where I like I listen to a whole 2 hour podcast and then I'm out the other side. I'm like, hang on, I didn't remember any of that. And that's the point at which generally I need to pivot and get a bit more trivial with my podcast listening and look for some laughs or something much easier to listen to. Perhaps, you know, a memory palace or something, you know. And again, the joy of podcasts, you can do that in a click of a button. It's a delight.
Well, Jack, I think you've rounded this off so well.
I should have thought. I was about to start talking, but thanks for cutting in, Fred. Yeah.
Well, no problem at all. Mike, you're a busy man, and you've got things to do, and I guess Jack and I have too. So thank you so much for being
on
Episode Party. If people want to find you and Really FM, where can they find you?
Yeah, we produce a whole host of shows of varying things, mostly focused around technology, but not completely, at relay.fm. That's relay.fm. If you want to find me, I am on Twitter. I am at imike, I-M-Y-K-E. I don't really have a good place to say go and listen to my shows, but if you go to relay.fm, my name's all over the website. You can click my name and you can see the shows that I produce.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much. We are at episode_party on Twitter, and you can find all of our other shows, all of our other episodes at www.episode.party. Thanks very much. Goodbye.